Hi, and welcome to Hypothetically Intentional, where we ask the question, what if we set intentions with everything we do? I am your co-host, Michelle, and today we have Kat with us again.
Hello.
Welcome, Kat.
Thanks
for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you set the intention last time, so I feel like it's only fair if I set it this time.
Yes, please.
I feel like my intention, or our intention, or a possibility of intention is to be grounded, connected, and I'm just hearing in my big energy. I don't know why that's coming in that way, but that is absolutely what I'm hearing. So I'm gonna listen to it and just be in my big energy. Heck, we could have a whole conversation about what that means.
Sure, why not? We can go there.
It's like, I don't know. I feel like that came in because I had a really big chunk of my life that I just hid. I reeled my energy in everywhere I went.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Because I didn't want to be seen or cause a ruckus or create confrontation or any sort of, like, this is going to sound weird, but like jealousy or like judgment. Like, there were just, so I just reeled it all in and tucked it away behind all the walls that I had built up. And I just don't do that anymore. It's not that I'm always in like fill the room energy, but I definitely am not in hiding anymore, I guess. So I don't know. I really there's a piece of me that's like, gosh, guides, what are you trying to tell me today? what is this message? I'm going to sit with that a minute. You got anything to say about all that?
I mean, I would say that, like, you know, pieces of my backstory, like, raised in a really complicated family situation, was wildly accommodating as a child because love felt conditional, and so children should be seen and not heard, and don't be the squeaky wheel, because that is not a good thing. And so if you can slide in and be a chameleon and just make everyone else comfortable and take care of them, then you've made yourself useful. Right. And so if you are, like, small and quiet and useful, it goes better instead of, you know, like, taking up space, like, owning who you are, like, mind, body, and soul. And, you know, and with age, that helps a lot. Right?
That's fair. Life experience is, like, a legit, amazing, useful tool, albeit painful.
Yeah.
At times. Yeah. Not always. But so, there's definitely some pain points in there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, worked through major mental health stuff, like, in junior high and high school, like all kids in junior high and high school, for the love of God.
Right.
Yeah. And then a lot of inner work in my 20s and 30s, and in a much, much better place now in terms of, you know, people talk about coming back or going back to who you were in childhood, and like, nope, that person is always there. You just realize that is who you're supposed to be. You get led astray along the way, right? With, like, peers and family and all the things, and, like, sort of programmed to be this different human. And at some point you figure out, well, none of that actually works. I'm gonna, like, own who I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, and hopefully. I wouldn't even say supposed to be. I'd just say who you are.
Who you are, yes.
Like, supposed to be, for me, I'm like, no, I resent.
No. Like, I'm saying supposed to be in, like, the universal
in, like, the
sense,
highest
in the highest self.
Yeah.
Like who your guides, and, like, the universe knows who you are. Like, just show up like that, and all is well, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Oh, that's hearing you describe your childhood. It's like, I resonate with a lot of it in my own ways, in my own story, except I don't think anyone that knows me would ever say that I was small and quiet. I'm not a quiet human. It's funny though. I am, like, if I'm in a new place, I am super, like, a fly on the wall. Mm-hmm. I do not want to be seen. I do not want to be heard. And maybe that's not so true anymore. Like, now I'm just, like, an observer first. And then when I assess and decide what is safe or what isn't, or how engaged I even choose to be, it's not about me hiding now. It's about a mindful choice. Like, I have awareness of this room, and this room is either for me or not. And my healthy boundaries are what guide me through, like, how big my energy gets, how open I prefer to be, how vulnerable I choose to get, how engaged I want to be, and how long I want to stay, if I'm being honest, right? Like, peace out, gotta go.
Right.
You know, and I get to do that. Yeah. And I didn't used to do that.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's like this amazing, and it's definitely, I mean, you know, it's an age thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's wisdom in the experiences. But I also think, like, I didn't start really digging into who I might be, actually, until, I mean, probably in my mid-30s I started, but I didn't have the community or the guidance mm-hmm. at that time. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until, like, you know, I was, like, 41 before I actually met a community that could actually guide me and support me in a way that led me somewhere, mm-hmm. actually, into my big energy. I mean, mm-hmm. we all have it. It's just, you know, how much are you willing to, like, crank that door open to right. let the light shine right. and just be like, yeah, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. And I legit am not trying to form into, like, I don't care if you like me. I like myself. And if we're not vibing, that's okay. Right. And I also don't, like, I don't need you to like me, but I also, if you don't like me, I don't feel bad towards mm-hmm. you or about mm-hmm. you or anything. Like, I understand, like, if we all absolutely loved everything about everyone and everyone in the world, like, that doesn't even, like, I can't even comprehend that. Mm-mm. That doesn't even, like, there's no way.
No.
Plus boring. That just feels boring to me.
No drama then. Come on, man.
I don't like drama, but I would like variety. Right. I would like variety, yes. Drama, no. Variety, change. Little shift here and there. Oh,
growth and exploration.
Growth and exploration yeah. and yeah. play within that. And pain. I remind myself that, like, as much as I say I want these things, and I do, that it comes with discomfort.
Yes.
And that's okay. And I always remind myself, these days I'm big on that everything is temporary, like literally everything. And so that there's comfort there, but there's also discomfort there depending on where your attachments are. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. There are no bad emotions, right? Like,
right.
And that's...
I think it's the stuffing them that gets us in trouble.
Well, I think the labeling does too.
Well, fair.
Because if you're going to label them as bad, then inherently you don't want to experience them, right?
Right.
And, like, that's not realistic.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah, that
at some point
you do have to.
Whether it's the floodgates that open or whether it's the dripping faucet, like you're gonna have to at some point.
Yeah. And even I'm just like, as you said that, like what I'm hearing is like experiencing your emotions like as they really are. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like I hid a lot of my actual emotions in anger for a very long time. I was just, that was my comfortable place, anger and frustration. I was either frustrated because things weren't going the way I hoped, mm-hmm. or I was angry because things weren't going the way I had hoped. Or I was angry because I couldn't believe that either this had happened to me or hadn't happened for me or, you know, I've been just kind of like all the different things.
Now that you say that, I'm like, oh, that anger makes so much sense because I think some people externalize their anger and other people internalize it.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think I was really angry at myself for a lot of years.
Oh, that's what I figured out after doing the work is, like, oh, I wasn't even mad at anybody else. I was mad at me. Oh,
totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also realizing, like, the shame and, like, you know, the anxiety and the depression and all of those pieces and, like, how that ties into the anger, right? And being frustrated with yourself that you're...
Yeah.
Like, feeling shitty and in this place and, you know, and it's like the feedback loop of misery. No, thank you. Yeah. Eject. Shut it down.
Let me go. You said that. It's like, it reminded me, Dan and I have had a few conversations lately about just kind of like how we grew up and, or even just like how we showed up growing up, you know? Yeah. And it was like, I think about like guilt, shame, worry, anxiety, were just like, that was just normal in my family. Like, my grandfather was very much a worry. He worried about literally everything. Yeah, so it was like, you know, and then just the way, I don't know, just the way my whole family operated, it was like guilt, shame, worry, anxiety were all very common and normal emotions, experiences in my day-to-day life to the point where I thought that was normal. I didn't even know it was possible to have anything different.
Right.
And then it was like, I was like, wait, what is this, like, what is this household thing going on over here? I'm confused. Right. I don't know. Why is your mom not worried that you're not home? Don't they love you? Like, you know, like I like connected all that. Like I had attached it to all these little different things, totally. You know, and then, I don't know. Anyway, it's fascinating to think like I literally didn't know it was something different. And that led us to a bunch of conversations about like, oh, that's just my family. Sorry, my bad. I didn't know that wasn't normal.
That was
some hysterical stories there, which I won't share all if Dan chooses to share them on the podcast. Someday we can do that. But I mean, we were just dying laughing because it's like, you don't know what's not normal until you, and what's normal anyway, but like normal to you. And then you go and like, oh, there's a possibility of something different.
That's exactly it. You don't know the possibilities until they're revealed to you.
Yeah. And then you're like, wow, there's something different out there.
Totally.
Wait, like, how do I show up? What do I want?
Yeah. Like, what are these other options here?
Yeah.
Talk to me about this.
And what might they look like in my world? Mm-hmm. What might they look like in my internal world? I've seen them in the external world. That's interesting and unique. Yeah. Can't even fathom that being sustainable, but let's give it a go.
Yeah, you know? I still remember a conversation that we had with a gal that was part of a little weekend snapshot choose yourself, and she was like, I can literally close my eyes and just breathe and get to nirvana. And I was like, what? Like, you can do that? Like, teach me, tell me everything. Like, how? Like, that's amazing. Like, I didn't even know there was an option. Sign me up. Like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, huh, like, mind blown.
Well, and there's, like, so many, I use the, like, there's so many muscles that we don't even know exist that we exercise.
Right.
Or we can exercise when we know they exist, but we have to know they exist first. And I tell you what, man, circling it back to yoga from last week's episode.
Yeah.
Every time I do a yoga practice after it's been a while, I'm like, what is that little muscle that's happening right there underneath my rib cage or underneath my armpit or, you know, in my glute? You're just like, damn, I didn't even know there was, and I do body work. It's like, I do know there's muscles there, but... Well, found that one. Guess I need to do that a little more. You've been sleeping.
Or when you focus on like the subtle body stuff and it's yeah, it's like, feel the muscles that hold your ribs together. And I'm like, what? And then you can feel them and you're like, whoa. Yeah. There's stuff there. That's amazing. It's like,
ew, have you ever had your intercostals massaged?
No, but that sounds dirty and yes, please.
I remember we were in our Thai massage training and there was a couple of people in there that were taking it super like slow and literal. And it's like, we don't have all day. Like, come on, let's just like, you get the concept of moving on. Like, this is there's that impatience piece, right? But it feels really good. Like, that's those spaces between your ribs get you
up.
So good. But it's like, yeah, things you don't, pieces of your body that you don't even realize exist until you do. And then you're like, wait, what? Oh. Perspective, man.
Right.
That's no different than being in your home and then going outside and seeing a different thing. It's like, right? It's like, oh, I didn't know that existed. Now I do. Well, something to ponder.
That reminds me of Brené Brown's Atlas of the Heart.
I haven't read it.
Oh, I listened to it on Audible and she reads it, which is really lovely. But like, she talks about like the full spectrum of emotions and like what it feels like and like her stories and her experiences with it. And like, it's fascinating because she just talks. I mean, she's just such an approachable author, you know, talking about emotions and like really complicated, complex things. And it's one of those books where I was like, I'm going to have to listen to this again like 3 more times.
Yeah.
Because like it's so dense and it's so good. And like different sections are so applicable at different times of your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a good one if you're like, okay, what are emotions again? Like, I don't have all of the vocabulary that I want to have. Like, reminders of, like, what things feel like if you're really disconnected from, like, those experiences.
Yeah.
It's a really good resource.
I think language is hard sometimes
yes.
Like, to articulate, like, what you're actually feeling. That's like, well, it's this combination between anger... sadness, a little bit of guilt. You know, it's like, it's almost like I'm thinking of a bag of Jelly Bellies right now, making recipes with my emotions.
It's like a recipe. It's like a baking card. It's like a half teaspoon of salt.
Yeah.
Like a little bit of bitterness in there. And then
sass. A
little spicy.
A lot spicy. Super want to make emotion recipe cards now.
Oh my God, yes.
That would be fun.
Absolutely.
I feel like I feel like we could use that in summits for sure. Like emotional recipe cards where you get to like break it down. Uh-huh. Because I think it's too easy to just say I'm pissed off.
Yeah. Well, like, that's your go-to, so of course.
Well, it's also too easy to just say I'm sad.
Like, well, I was gonna say anxious
is there?
For me, right.
There's always something
Always something else underneath.
You said anxious. I'm going to just sidetrack a little bit about my mom. Because, like, I don't remember. Dan and I were shopping the other night. And for some reason, she came in. And or not necessarily came in. But, like, a thought came into my head. And I was like, you know, my mom never used the words I'm excited for. She always said I'm anxious for. I'm anxious to see you. I'm anxious to go to the state fair. I'm anxious to do this thing. I'm anxious to do that thing.
Oh,
and I didn't put a lot of, like... thought into that until like now that she's gone. But like when I think about how she showed up in the world, right? Like,
right.
I mean, the family I grew up in, right? Like the family, she, her dad was the one that was worried, anxious, like all defaults, the time.
Right? That's just how it's
like. She doesn't even know what the word excitement means. It's always anxious.
Well, which is a version of anxiety, right? Like anxiety and excitement are like little buddies.
Yeah.
Like two sides of a coin, right?
Yeah.
Because it can be like, you know, performance anxiety, which is also good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also feels terrible in your body.
Yeah.
But, and it can be really helpful legitimately. And then there's like the worry part and like the, like, make, like dreading the worst, like catastrophizing, which is my superpower.
I feel like maybe we should not word it like that. Not should. I'm not shooting on you.
Yes, you are.
I just should on you. I'm sorry. I should on you. But like,
evil superpower.
There you go. There I was go. Like, it does feel a little bit like claiming catastrophizing as your superpower.
Well, I'm really, little... really good at it. Really good. Really good.
Okay, but can we just shift that just a smidgy?
Yeah.
This is why we're such great friends.
I know. My other superpower is pink glitter bubbles.
So oh, gosh. They're so good.
Yeah.
Pink glitter bubbles. And they don't make a mess.
Glitter forever everywhere.
Glitter forever everywhere. I'm a little bit less like a stickler for those kinds of things that, and this is like such a weird segue. but like, you know, part of the reason I didn't let people into my basement that I didn't know is because I did Thai massage, and there's always that underlying connotation that people might or might not assume that there's something more that's going to happen there. Yeah, and I'm just going to be...
Special massage.
Yeah. And I just, that is never...
Nope.
It's always been something I've been afraid of. Mm-hmm. And I just never wanted to do anything that gave any indication of that, you know, but now that like, skin. I'm not doing that anymore. It's like, I get a little less worried about it. Cause like personal development doesn't really like exude like, hey, come on in and you know, feel better in that way.
Yeah.
So I'm less worried about it. So if there's a little glitter in the studio, oh well, except that there's still like Thai massage here. So I just don't really want anything that could imply that something
inappropriate, quote unquote,
would be happening here. It's like I was so protective of that, but it was because it was one of my biggest fears. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, well, me having this fear might just be like an energy that I need to just completely detach from altogether because that's not helping anything.
No.
And it's funny because when I moved into this space, it went away for the most part. I don't know why I felt safer. Maybe it's because there were security guys next to me right out of the gate. And I went and talked to them and said, hey, if I ever have an issue, you guys around all the time. They're like, yep, leave your door open. We're fine.
Well, and I think like being in somebody's house has a different connotation.
It does. Well. Yeah. And so I don't know what it was. This like moving to the space was empowering for me on so many different levels. Yeah. It was so good for just
huge
like,
deal.
Yeah.
Major deal.
But it was one of the scariest things I've like ever chosen to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know how we got there.
I don't either. So this is how our brains work, guys.
Yeah.
For those of you that are listening. Just wander around and follow.
Oh, look at glitter.
Yeah. Shiny tangents. Oh, shiny. Yeah. Up in that direction.
Yeah. So that's where this one went.
Yeah.
Can we circle it back to something not that for a hot second?
Not body glitter and inappropriate massages.
Yeah, no. Not those things.
Well, we're talking about emotions and recipe cards for emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah, just emotions are complicated. And
I feel like even just thinking of my emotions with a recipe card is helpful for me. Like, I actually think that will be helpful for me showing up, like, when I'm in a trigger or in, like, a space where I'm like ooh, I'm feeling off.
Yeah.
I'm feeling off. Where is this coming from? And my default answer might be anger, but I'm not going to allow myself just that simple answer anymore. I want to break it down and actually be honest with myself about, okay, anger is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
What else is there?
Yeah, like what percentage is actually anger? Because oftentimes there's primary emotions and there's secondary emotions, right? So primary emotions are the emotions that show up first, which are often the ones that we sort of are like really used to or that we've sort of conditioned ourselves to feel first. But often if you like pause and you go a little further, there's often layers underneath. And so understanding, you know, what else is happening a lot of times with anger, you know, sadness follows. Or
oh, that's 100% on the other side of anger for me. I've cried so much since I've uncovered all that.
Yeah.
Like I've never cried that much in my entire life.
Yeah. And like anxiety is fear-based, right? So like, of course, like if you're worried about something, you're going to be fearful. And so like, what is the fear about? Like, do you actually need to be fearful of it? Like, is it legit? You know, I mean, of course it's legit, but like, is the thing actually a possibility of happening, you know? And so doing some like slow down, uncover, you know, write it out if you have to.
Yeah.
it. I like that. I think
we might. I really do too. I think this is going somewhere.
Okay. Emotional recipe cards.
Yeah.
I'm seeing color with them, so we
might. Me too.
Might have to do some art or some paint.
There's definitely cart happening.
Yeah.
Art. Cart. You said coloring, and I just thought creativity.
Emotional recipe card art. Cart.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it.
So stay tuned for that, guys. That's happening next, apparently. Right.
I guess. You never know where we're going to go legit.
I know, seriously.
It's such a great thing, though.
Yeah, that's fun.
Be in flow, and it doesn't always make sense.
That's okay. No. Never makes sense. Well, never makes really sense. Makes sense, but...
So, do you have a social media channel where people can find you that you'd like to share?
So, I have Katinka Inc. is my social media Instagram, and I've got a Katinka Inc. Facebook page.
Can you spell that?
It's CATINKA and then INK. So, Katinka Inc. So Instagram, Facebook, and then I think that's it.
Okay.
Oh, and a website. I do have a website, so you can look me up there.
Is that katinkainc.com? Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah.
And you can find us on Hypothetically Intentional on the social media pages and also on the Jidee website and the Michelle Albers website, which will be linked in the episode. Thanks for joining us today. That is a wrap. Bye. Be you every day.
Bye.